scripture reading will be Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 through 19. Proverbs 6, 16 through 19. These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imagination, seems to be swift in running the mischief, a false witness to the speak of lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren.
Scary when you see two rest of the Bible through that little thing. Isn't it? He's such an easy target. Such an easy target. He takes it too. Good to see everyone. Turning the Bible, 2 Chronicles chapter 26. We're going to be there all good bit this morning, 2 Chronicles chapter 26. This morning I want to talk about another royal fail we've been discussing. And I said I wanted to look at a couple kings that had failed royally. We've looked at Solomon, we looked at his son Rehoboam. This morning, let's get into 2 Chronicles chapter 26. Let's look at verse 1. And the people, all the people of Judah, took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king in the place of his father Amaziah. You know, I have to call some of the, you know how you get on the magic box, as Van calls it. I ran across some of the Ivy League nerdy things that they do, and one of them was they developed a test to see if you were a dumb guy, and that kind of sparked my interest. They put something together really helpful, and the dumb guy test, and really they have some questions to help you figure out if you're a dumb guy. All the women are going, yeah. But some of the thought-provoking questions that I pinned down here, it says, have you ever driven more than twice the legal speed limit? All right. How often do you find yourself saying, hey, what's the worst thing that can happen? All right. If you see something on TV and there's a warning there underneath the heading that says, don't try this at home, how long is it before you try it at home? I can answer yes about all three of those things. But I want you to think about a real dumb guy. And that dumb guy, I'm just going to put it that way, that dumb guy is in 2 Chronicles 26. That's Uzziah. Uzziah, as king, again, like Solomon, like Rehoboam, he had this great start, but then he got involved in some things that were really just like a what are you thinking moment. I mean, it was so dumb, and he got involved in it, and really, I'm just going to say it, just plain stupid. Some of the things that he did, but not only was it stupid, but it was sinful. And what Uzziah did was wrong. And if you want to measure the consequence of King Uzziah, as we look at him, the consequence of what happened to him for what he did, well, he wasn't king anymore. He lost he lost the throne. And as you're thinking about the other two kings, I know what you're thinking. Solomon, Rehoboam, idolatry. Here goes the third lesson. We're going to talk about idolatry. No. I know you get that. Don't worship idols. Bought the t-shirt. Been there, done that. That was not Uzziah's problem. Uzziah worshiped the true and living God. Uzziah trusted in the true and living God. He worshiped God. That's not his problem. The problem that Uzziah had is a problem that I believe we all have. The problem that Uzziah had is pride. Ooh, I'm such a great Christian. I'm such a great Christian. I know I'm a good Christian. I'm a good Christian. You know, just saying that says that you have a problem with pride, doesn't it? All of us know about pride. Pride is at the core level, I believe, of all sin. Because in pride, you do what I want to do. Nothing matters about what God wants to do, because what God says doesn't count. I count. I'm the one. I count. And if that's not enough, that pride separates you from God, pride separates you from your fellow man. Pride separates you from folks you know, because pride, you're better than everybody else. And you got that prideful look, that you're looking down your nose with arrogance at everybody else. Maybe the most important thing that we need to know about pride is that of all the sins in the Bible, pride is specifically mentioned. It is explicitly mentioned that, and really more than once, God hates pride.
I think that ought to get our attention.
God hates pride. And that's what got Uzziah. That's what he was involved in. He was involved in pride. And really, I think worst of all, as I look at this story, pride got him when he wasn't thinking about it. Pride got him when he wasn't looking. I want you to think about that. That's when pride usually gets you. I said some things two Sundays ago about Rehoboam for young people, about different things. And of course, all lessons from God's Word, we can apply all of those things a lot. But you know, if you have a little bit of silver in your hair, I want you to pay attention to this story. Because I want to tell you when Uzziah fell. Uzziah fell when he was older. Older, not exactly young. And I want us to think about why did Uzziah fall away from the Lord. And when Uzziah fell away from the Lord. Now, he's not that much of a famous king, you know. It's not talk to live. Hey, let's talk about King Judah. Let's talk about King Uzziah. So let's look a little bit about him. Look at verse 2. He built Eloth and restored it to Judah, and the king slept with his father. And Uzziah was 16 years old when he became king. He reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jechaliah of Jerusalem. And he did right in the sight of the Lord according to all his father Amaziah had done. Now think about that. That's a good start. He begins in the best way possible. That's a real strong start. But it becomes, or comes about, that good start comes about because of verse 5. And he continued to seek God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding through the vision of God. As long as he sought the Lord, Uzziah, he prospered. Now, we just need to think about that. What would it be like to be king, 16 years old? I don't know if I've done as good as Uzziah. I really don't. I can see myself having a chariot racing through Jerusalem at 16, have a big gold bowl towel with, start telling the chief royal cook, you know, hey, go and drink some chocolate. I'd have been a party hard at 16. All that power, all that glory, but Uzziah just wasn't king at 16. He was a good king. Uzziah was a great king at that age, and verse 5, I believe, holds the secret to that, who set himself to seek God in the days of Zechariah. Now, that Zechariah is not the prophet. Zechariah that bears the book, that bears his name. This is a different Zechariah. But this Zechariah is a mentor to Uzziah, and Uzziah listened to him. He instructed him in the fear of God. He taught him. And as long as he sought the Lord, what the passage says, God made him prosper. And I'll tell you, the writer of Chronicles, you ought to think about that. Look at what happens next. Verse 6, there's this long list of stuff that Uzziah did. He whipped the Philistines, there's verse 6. God helped him, verse 7. Also the Arabians, the Ammonites, verse 8, they paid tribute to him. He started building stuff. He built towers in verse 9. He built more towers in verse 10. He outfitted the army, verse 11. The army was huge. Verse 12 and 13, spears, he prepared them. Shields, helmets, verse 14. On top of all that was verse 15. In Jerusalem, he made machines. They were invented, the Bible says, by skillful men to be on the towers in the corners to shoot arrows and great stones. Now, not only does that make Jerusalem strong, that makes Jerusalem cool. Catapults. They throw stuff. I mean, that's pretty cool. This guy had it going on. He had it going on. His fame, verse 15, spread far, for he was marvelously helped until he was strong. And the key to that is, all of that is that King Uzziah is serving the Lord. And all of that is wrapped up. Note that. Verse 5. God made him prosper. That says again, verse 7. God helped him. Look at verse 15. He was marvelously helped. Don't miss that. Don't miss that. He was very faithful to God. When he was faithful to God, God helped Uzziah. Kingdom got big. Kingdom got strong. Uzziah had it going on because God did it for Uzziah. Mark that down. Then, at the time when everything's coming along, everything's going great, he makes the awful mistake. verse 16.
But when he became strong, his heart was so proud that he acted corruptly, and he was unfaithful to the Lord his God, for he entered the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. You saw it? What's that about? Why did you do it? What are you thinking? You can't do that. He violated about five laws of God. God is teaching him clear about that. What he's doing is wrong. He can't be there. He can't do this. But he does it anyway. He goes in and does that. And I'm reading this. I can't help but think about Nadab and Abihu. I see Uzziah doing this. I thought about Leviticus 10. And I thought about the fire coming down. And they offered strange worship, strange fire. They were destroyed by God. And I thought about Uzzah, the Ark of the Covenant. I thought about him. He dies instantly. I think, but when I'm looking at this, it's just all of those things rolled into one. I'm just waiting to read that fire's going to come down and Uzziah's going to be done. But I look at the text, really it's something probably, what happens next, maybe worse than this fire had came down from heaven. Look at verse 17. He says, then Azariah the priest entered after him, and with him 80 priests, the Lord's valiant men. They opposed Uzziah the king and said to him, it is not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord, but for the priests, sons of Aaron, who are consecrated to burn incense. Get out of the sanctuary, for you have been unfaithful and will have no honor from the Lord God. But Uzziah, with a censer in his hand for burning incense, was enraged. And while he was enraged with the priests, the leprosy broke out on his forehead before the priests in the house of the Lord, beside the altar of incense, Azariah, the chief priest, and all the priests looked at him, and behold, he was leprous on his forehead. They hurried him out there, and he himself also hastened to get out, because the Lord had smitten him. Now, when you look at that, you have to know that there was a moment that when Azariah seen him, no, you cannot be doing this. This is wrong. This is for the priest only. I don't care if you are king. This is wrong. You have to know that the king, he's like, I'm the king. I'm going to do anything that I want to. I'm the king. And as he's doing that, he's mad, he's enraged. And then all the priests, 80 priests, go, oh. And you can see Uzziah saying, what? You have been made a leper. You are struck a leper because what you have done. God has made you a leper. And it was, and I look at verse 20. If it wasn't for fear, it would be one of the funniest verses. They rushed him out quickly. Yeah, I suspect they did. He himself hurried out. I think he did. He failed here. King Uzziah failed royally because he got caught up in pride. And in fact, when you read the rest of it, look at the reign, the dominant note. The dominant note in Uzziah's life, King Uzziah, verse 21, was a leper to the day of his death. And he lived in a separate house, being a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord. Jotham, his son, was over the king's house, judging the people of the land. Now the rest of the act of Uzziah, first to last, prophet Isaiah, son of Amos, as was written. So Uzziah, verse 23, left with his fathers, and they buried him with his fathers in the field of the grave which belonged to the king, for they said, he is a leper. And Jotham, his son, became king in his place. Wow. Something. When I read that, and I'm going to say that one moment, that one stupid moment, that one dumb move, that defined his life. That defined his whole life. What happened here? What happened here in verse 16? And we don't have to speculate about verse 16. He says, when he grew strong, he grew proud. That's what happened. In the Jeff Norton Lexington International Version, what that says is, he grew too big for his britches. That's what happened. All the blessings that God had heaped on him, all the things that God had done, instead of looking at him and giving God the thanks and praise and being thankful, Uzziah got swallowed up in his son. He got the thanking, you know what? I'm the cause of all this. I'm the reason things are like they are. One man said this. When I read it, I thought, ain't it the truth? Many can handle adversity, but few
can handle prosperity. Uzziah shows us how hard it is to be blessed. Uzziah shows us how hard it is to be blessed. All those good things that God gave him, you know what happened to it? Went to his head. It went to his head. And it's interesting that pride throughout the scripture is a problem. It's a huge problem. Just looking at different lists, different ways that the scripture defines it, it expresses and as it talks about this sin, elevating oneself, making one higher or exalting oneself, making oneself great. All the words haughtiness is used a lot of times. Now in the Greek New Testament, same emphasis, it appears like this: to gloat, to brag, to think oneself better than others, to swagger, to think down toward others. All these terms talk about what happened to King Uzziah. All these ideas talk about pride. And I want to say right here, you know what? Society applauds it, doesn't it? Oh, look how great you've done. You cut me out. I'll tell you what you've done, how you've done, what you cut me out. A society of pride. I want everybody to see me and see the glory of me and see what I've done. Yet God doesn't applaud it at all. And see, read the scripture reading, the very first thing. God hates it. God hates it. Verse 17, specific, haughty eyes, the root of pride. Proverbs chapter 8, since we're talking about that. Proverbs chapter 8, look at verse 13. The wisdom writer says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverted mouth, God says, I hate. You ever notice when you're looking at that, and I made mention of it, that this pride seemed to sneak up on these eyes. Everything was going great. It seemed to be going great. But the whole time this was happening, this was developing in him. Pride was coming up. It was running up in him, and it was ruining him. And the guy didn't even know. He didn't even see it. He was so blind to the problem that he had that he goes and does something incredibly stupid that he knew better, and he did it. And he didn't even realize. The warnings wasn't there. You ever noticed I did this one time? One time. You may have had the same experience. Southern West Virginia, there's timber rattles bigger than your leg. I'm in the woods, ginseng with a grandpa. And I don't remember how tall I was little. And thick underbrush. I was digging poison ivy and everything else, thought I was digging ginseng. And I heard the rattle. You don't usually get that warning. But I knew what that was. And I knew where it came from. So I backed out ever so slowly and walking every step I made. That was a warning. That was a warning that something bad's going to happen to me. And I heeded that warning. And I think about, I hate that sound. When you get in the car, and you get the coffee there, you don't do that. Fired up, you're going down the road and hear that ding, 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 ding. Warning, warning, Will Robinson. You didn't bust the seatbelt. It's for everybody, isn't it? So you do it. And if you have an accident, you're glad you needed the warning to go up. You're glad you do that. And I think we need to see the signs of growing pride. Uzziah has never seen the signs of growing pride. I'm saying to you that we need a warning sign. There are plenty of signs that I think that we can see and tell. If we have a growing pride, and if we're proud and haughty and don't even know it. That starts, I think, that there's just a lack of gratitude. There's just a lack of gratitude in me. And I have this sense of deservedness. That I deserve something. And I think that's in people that have a developing pride in themselves. You know, somebody said, and I thought about it a while, that pride is like a dandelion and it grows in that good soil. And it's the truth. One of the times that I cared about my lawn, I fertilized it. I did everything to it. I was Mr. Fertilizer, this and this and this. I'll tell you what, the biggest harvest of dandelions that ever was grew in that lawn. Because they thrive on that discourse. And it's true about that.
Now apply that spiritually. You think about the person as a Christian, as a person that's struggling as a Christian. Aren't we all? But you're struggling as a Christian, is two steps forward, is one step backwards, and you know what? When somebody is in that position and they think, you know what? You know who they need? They need God. I need God. I need Jesus Christ. So thankful for my Savior. So thankful for God as I struggle to do His will, to walk in the path of righteousness. Nothing to be proud of. If, you know what? You're humbled, aren't you? You certainly are humble. That person is humble. There's no pride in there. But when you start putting this thing together, you start getting your act together as a Christian. You've got this attendance thing down. You've got this daily Bible reading down. You've got this prayer life down. You know what happens? You know what you're developing? Discord. That's right. You're walking into life. You've got discord. What happens now? Pretty soon, we're like, look at me. I've got this thing wired. I've got it figured out. I've got the good stuff in the world. You know what I'm doing? I'm really doing well, aren't I? I'm doing good. And instead of seeing that growth spiritually, instead of seeing that growth as a blessing, somehow, for some reason, hope pops themselves out. Like, they're the one. I want you to look what I'm doing. I want you to look at how I'm being as a Christian, instead of being grateful for the salvation of Christ, instead of being grateful for His grace, instead of being grateful for His mercy and what we have in Him, somehow, the accomplishments that we have on a spiritual note, we just seem like those kids, so we just stack higher and higher so that we can get up there and have somebody say, boy, you want something. Boy, you really got it together. We need to spend some time on gratitude. We need to spend some time on thankfulness. We talked about this from Colossians chapter 2. Paul writes about this. If you want to have an antidote to pride, I'm telling you what, this is it. This is the antidote to pride. Look what Paul says in verse 7. Chapter 2, verse 7, Colossians. Having been firmly rooted and now built up in Him and established in the faith, he says, your faith, just as you were instructed and overflowed with gratitude. The person who is constantly thankful, the person who is constantly grateful, will not be ate up with pride. When was the last time you had a prayer that was strictly a prayer of thanksgiving and gratitude only? I'm not talking about going to God and saying, well, help me this. I'd like this to happen. I want this to happen. Can you do this for me? I want this. I need this. They need that. I want this to work out this way. Not that. Not that prayer. But a prayer that says, Almighty God, how grateful and how thankful and how humble I am to be in your presence. You are the reason I have anything and everything. And thank God that way. I'll tell you what. Prayer like that, a life like that, an attitude like that goes a long, long way in defeating pride that you may not know is even developing in your life. Going along well with that, I think, is that when you're developing pride, there's a feeling of you're just invisible. Alright? And you have this overconfidence feeling. The Battle of Spotsylvania Courthouse. I'm sure everybody knows what that is. I like reading about the Civil War. There was a general by the name of John Sedgwick. And he was under fire by the Confederate troops there at this place in PA. And those guys, the Union troops, they were hunting down behind logs and ditches and everything else. And Sedgwick comes along and says, well, what are you guys doing? Get up. And he said, look, don't worry. He said, and they begged him to get down. Lay down on the ground. And he stands up and he said, are you kidding me? At this distance, they couldn't hit an elephant. At that moment, a Confederate sniper, right underneath his left eye, killed
him death. Overcome. Invisible. Arrogant. That's what that one not thinking moment will do for you.
And I look back at 2 Chronicles, and that's exactly what's going on with Uzziah. What are you doing? You know better than to do what you're doing. You know you don't have the right to do that. You can't be here, but somehow he decided it was okay for him. You know why? Because he's the king. He's the king. And the result of that spectacular, foolish, and stupid thing to do on his part, you know what happened? You know what? I got this. It's not, you know what? So says the young couple as they're crawling in the back seat. No problem. And before you know it, immorality takes place. Sin takes place. Overcome. Arrogance. I can take care of this. How often have you heard somebody announce the world's problems and the temptations that are out there? You know who they are? That's experiences with other people. I can watch that movie. What's that going to bother me? I can be around all that kind of talk. I can be all around that. Hey, it's not going to bother me. None of that's going to bother me. That kind of talk's no big deal. I can be where all kinds of sin is going on in the world. It's no big deal. I won't get involved in that. I know. I'll be okay.
Wisdom of Solomon. Turn back. Proverbs chapter 11. Notice what he says. Proverbs 11. Verse 2. He says, when pride comes, then comes dishonesty. But with the humble, he says, then comes wisdom. Solomon has more to say on that. Look at chapter 16, verse 18. Pride goes before destruction. And a haughty spirit, he says, that goes before stumbling. Maybe that's Sedgwick's verse there. Maybe that's Uzziah's verse there. Listen, don't let that be your verse. Don't let that be your verse. And if you notice, as you look at 2 Chronicles, when they withstood the king, when the priests withstood the king, look at verse 19. What did Uzziah do? He got mad. Uzziah was angry. That's really telling you this. As Azariah rebuked the king, I want to tell you something. That took a lot of courage. That took some real courage. Here's 83. Azariah seems to be like he's taking the lead. But I tell you, that took some courage to stand up to the king, especially as arrogant and proud as the king was. You need to think about this. You need to think about what you're doing here. You can't be doing this, King Uzziah. I don't care if you are the king. You still can't be doing it. His response, instead of what? Instead of appreciating that counsel, instead of appreciating that godly advice, oh, he gets mad. Oh, he gets mad. Isn't it true that a lot of times that's invariably our reaction? Hey, you know something? I've heard some things about you. I've seen some things about you. I'm concerned about you. I'm concerned about your faith. I'm a little concerned about your walk with God. Can we talk a minute? You know, when you are infallible, when you are invincible like Uzziah, you know what's easy to decide? I'm not accountable to anybody. I don't owe anybody here a thing. I'm my own man. I'll give you an explanation of what I do. You know who you're talking to? You know what I've done here? How many generations have went here? Who are you to question me? Verse 5. Uzziah set himself to seek God in the days of Zechariah, who instructed him in the fear of God. What happened to that reverence to God instead of it's all about me? You want to take a test to see if you have pride? You want to take a test to see if pride is growing in you? Ask yourself, How do I respond to correction? How do I respond if the elders come to me and say, hey, you know what, we need to talk. You got some things going on, need to correct. We need to talk. You going to be angry about that? You going to be defensive about that? When I examine my heart, am I ready to examine some things that are not right? My brother's telling me, my sister's telling me these things, sure that my walk with God is flawed, and I need to change. I need to repent, admit I'm wrong. Big part of our business. They withstood King Uzziah. Verse 18. Verse 19, he got angry. I like what Josephus says. I think that guy embellishes more than I do sometimes. But his account's a little bit different. He says this about what happened to Uzziah. He says that as Uzziah was usurping the role of the high priest on the Day of Atonement, at that moment of his sin, an earthquake split the valley and breached the temple wall so that a beam of light, the glory of Jehovah, fell on Uzziah's head and produced leprosy. I'll tell you something. That doesn't say that. Bob doesn't say that. Josephus says that. But you know what? The Bible doesn't say what I want to say either. I want verse 19 to say, you're right, Azariah. I'm wrong. You're right. I should have never been here. I should have never done what I did. Pray with me. Get me out of here. Help me repent. Ask God to please forgive me. Pray on my behalf. I should have never done what I've done. No, he got mad. Admitting sin. Admitting sin. Repenting. Turning away from sin. I'm going to tell you something. Prideful people cannot and will not do that. They won't. I know they won't. You know why? James says they won't. Turn to James chapter 4. James says in verse 6, but he gives a greater grace. Therefore it says, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to thee and only the humble. Alright, that's God's choice. Peter builds on that. Let's go to Peter, 1 Peter chapter 5. Notice what he says in verse 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. You younger men likewise be subject to your elders, and all of you clothe yourself with what? Humility toward one another, for God is opposed to the proud, gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at proper time. I love that. And you look at that, watch what follows next. Look at verse 7. Casting all your anxiety on him, because why? Who cares for you? Be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. If you're not humbling yourself, verse 5 and 6, it says, you're going to be destroyed. Verse 7 and 8, because why? You will not and cannot turn to God and repent. That's what Peter said. I remember happy days. I'm talking about yesterday. I'm talking about happy days. Those of my generation remember that that was Andy Griffith's little boy. What was his name? Opie. That was Opie when he grew up. He was in high school. Remember the farm? Everybody loved the farm. Cool farm. Had a motorcycle, a leather jacket. He was the cool one. They had a whole series of shows about the farm. And it was dealt with that he was incapable of saying, I'm sorry. Paul couldn't say it. He couldn't say, I'm sorry. They get him to a place where he couldn't make his mouth say, I'm sorry. He just couldn't do it. He was unable to break that pride when he done wrong. That kind of pride gave you Zion leprosy. Folks, that kind of pride will separate us from God forever. Not only on this earth, but for eternity. And I will tell you, that's what Uzziah teaches us today. For the lesson. Please get your songbooks out. I just added the dumb guy test. I might add this question. Do you ever become so prideful that when somebody comes to try to help you,
that when somebody comes to you, a good and godly people that are trying to help you, you get angry, you get defensive, and do you refuse to repent? You've got growing and developing pride. Uzziah would have to answer that yes. And I'm afraid, brethren, there's a lot of folks that would have to answer that yes. Examine your heart this day. Jesus said, "He that believes and is baptized shall be saved." What a blessed gospel that we have. Let's embrace that gospel. If you've not done that, the Bible says it's your law. Jesus said to repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. If you've fallen away in such a way that there is something between you and the cross of Christ, if you need to change, we'll pray for you. God's door is always open to the heart of repentance. Please come. Let's get together and stand.